Blog Talk Radio.
It was the summer before the real world started, and the deal was we would get to go if we cleaned it up and got it running. That is old Winnebago, winging a prayer down a 65, five best friends on four ball ties. I can still see Billy smiling when we finally made it to Talladega. Boys raised us, whiskey and gold glass. Now here's the turning up, I'm slowing down, and cars that go real fast.
Live from Talladega, Alabama, you're in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Big thanks to Talladega Super Speedway, Russell Branham, Price Mason, and Grant Lynch. As track president Grant Lynch always says, this is more than a race, this is Talladega. Tickets are on sale now for the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Fridge 250 October 18th and the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Geico 500 October 19th. To purchase your tickets, call 877-GO-TODEGA or visit TalladegaSuperspeedway.com. We got a big show scheduled tonight, but at this time I'd like to bring my good friend on, Reverend Joe, and we'll get everything started with the invocation. Reverend Joe, how
yes,
you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing great.
Thank you very much.
That's great.
Good. Sorry about that little bit of delay there, but go ahead, Reverend.
No problem. Lord, we come before you today and we thank you again for such a wonderful day and for such a wonderful country we live in. We first want to lift up to you all the soldiers all over the world that are defending our country. We also pray for their families and all the people around them. We also ask your blessings upon not only our radio show today, but all the racers involved with auto racing this week that will be competing all over this country. And we thank you again for the freedom to be able to do that. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died so that we could have free entrance into heaven. Be with us all today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Reverend Joe, thank you very much, friend. We really do appreciate you being the Reverend for the Pit Stop Radio on Speedway Digest Radio Network.
I'm honored to do it for you. It's a great show, and it's a great opportunity. I wanted to speak to you and the people. It's wonderful. I was just giggling a little bit as the flyover was done a couple of weeks ago at our local racetrack when I did the opening invocation. Young lady did the national anthem. Just about that point, three large pigeons flew over. We had our own pigeon fly over. It was cute.
That's funny, Reverend. That's funny. That's funny.
You guys have a wonderful show. God bless you. We'll talk with you next week.
Yes, sir. God bless you too, Reverend. We'll talk at you later, bud.
All righty. Take care, buddy.
Yes, sir. See you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Reverend Joe out of Riverside, California. At this time, I want to bring my good friend, Stephen Wilson, owner and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. We want to bring Stephen on here.
Let's get ready to rumble!
How you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. It's getting a little bit hotter down here, though. We got to have some rain, Steve.
Yes, we do.
Okay. If you want to, Stephen, we'll go ahead and get started because we've got a big everything going on tonight at 7:15 Eastern Time. We've got Price Chasing PR at Talladega Super Speedway, which will be giving away a very rare signed hat by Mr. Ricky Carmichael, and I think it's got a bottle koozie with it, too. We're going to give that away. It's got Talladega Super Speedway on it. But if you want me to, Stephen, I'll go ahead and get started with some of the stuff out of the ARCA series, and then you can do the trucks, and I'll do Nationwide, and you do the cup, and we'll get the price, if that's okay.
Sure thing.
Okay. This is Long Pond, Pennsylvania, August 1st, 2014. The Trinity Motorsports driver, John Westhamley, was involved in a crash during the ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards qualifying session. The team rolled out a backup car, which they put B.J. McLeod in. Just wanted to read that first. And Justin Allison was the winner of the 2014 ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards event number 13 at Pocono Raceway, Long Pond, Pennsylvania, 8-1-14, the Mod Space 125. Justin Allison was your winner. My good friend Will Kimmel finished second. Big shout-out to Will. The Messina Circle Track Magazine Ford. Third was number 77, Tom Hessert. Fourth was number 66, Ben Pooh. Fifth was number 25 of Justin Boston. Sixth was number 86 of Nick. I'm not going to mess that name up. Seventh was number 98 of Mason Mitchell. Finishing eighth was Austin Wayne Self. Ninth, Cody Coffin. And tenth was Mike O'Leary. And just some of your notables back on through the field. Mike Alfarano, another good friend of mine, finished 14th, Thomas Prater was 16th, and Frank Kimmel finished 20th. That was your top 20 out of there. And I think that's it, Steve. And I'll hand you over to the truck side.
Yes, so this past weekend we were at Pocono for the Pocono Mountains 150. Austin Dillon was your winner out there this weekend. It was his sixth victory in 60 races there in the Camping World Truck Series. It is also his first victory and fifth top 10, finished in five starts in 2014. He left one at Eldora Speedway in 2013. Coming in second was Johnny Sauter. Ryan Blaney left out of there with the point lead by 7 points over Johnny Sauter. Staying there with the Truck Series, we had a couple penalties come out of NASCAR late this afternoon. The number 17 team of Timothy Peters has been fined, and crew chief has been placed on probation until December 31st. A couple different things they were fined for as acts detrimental to the stock car racing, as well as throttle shafts. The combined thickness of the throttle shaft and throttle plate must not be less than 0.197 of an inch. Also, the number 16 was penalized this weekend for the same thing, accidental to stock car racing, as well as Only two approved half-inch drive air wrenches with a single socket was allowed to be used at the time during changing wheels. This resulted in loss of track time next weekend in 2 weeks at Michigan International Raceway. One thing that is a little absent from the penalty infractions today, I was kind of surprised to see this, is during this past weekend at Pocono, Tyler Reddick and Herman Carruthers got together a couple different times out there, in which Tyler Reddick did retaliate under caution. NASCAR did end up penalizing him by parking his truck for the remainder of the race, and he was called to the NASCAR Hall of Post race. Kevin, with that real quick, is Herman Carruthers did take to Twitter this past weekend talking about what happened. He did say he wished that they had a in-car camera so that he could see, the people could see what was going on. He felt like he did give Tyler Reddick enough space during the passing there when they got together.
Sounds good, Stephen. And I'll go on with the nationwide stuff here, and we'll get it rolling because we got Price coming on here shortly. Iowa Speedway, the sixth running of the U.S. Segler 250 presented by New Holland. Your race winner was Brad Keselowski, age 30, team number 22, discount tire Ford, owner Roger Penske, crew chief Jeremy Bullins. Brad Keselowski won the sixth annual U.S. Segler 250 presented by New Holland, his 30th victory in 212 NASCAR Nationwide Series races. This is his third victory in 7th top 10 finish in 2014, 10 finish in 5 races at Iowa Speedway. Michael McDowell finished 2nd, posted his 7th top 10 finish in 8 races at Iowa Speedway, his 2nd top 10 finish in 2014. Trevor Bayne finished 3rd, posted his 5th top 10 finish in 7 races at Iowa Speedway. Ty Dillon finished 5th, was the highest finishing rookie. Chase Elliott leads the point standings by 2 points over Reagan Smith. And Trevor Bayne wins the Dash for Cash. And James Dennis out of Henry, Illinois, was the lucky fan to also win the $100,000 with Trevor. And a little bit more, there was no cars that failed to qualify. The time of the race was 2 hours, 2 minutes and 49 seconds. Average speed was 106.867 miles per hour. Margin of victory was 0.886 seconds. Caution flags was 5 for 29 laps. Lead changes was 8 among 5 drivers, and the top 10 in points, Chase Elliott, Reagan Smith, Elliott Sabner, Ty Dillon, Trevor Bayne, Brian Scott, Chris Buescher, Brandon Gaughan, Ryan Reed, and James Buescher. And the infraction sheet out of Iowa for the NASCAR Nationwide Series was lap number 17. The number 17 on lap 51, pit number 4, pit road was open. And the number 4 car, number 4 car, two crew members over the wall too soon. And I'll go on from that, and I'll go on to the infraction because we got to get going. This come out of NASCAR earlier, Stephen. I think I emailed it to, or you probably sent it anyway. This come from Mr. Kerry Tharp. Daytona Beach, Florida, August 5th, 2014. The number 23 team that competes in the NASCAR Nationwide Series has been penalized for a rules infraction that occurred during practice, August 1st at Iowa Speedway. The infraction is a P3 level penalty and violates sections 12-1, actions detrimental to stock car racing, 20A-2.3A. Any weight added to the car must be bolted inside the body shell in an approved weight container and in a position acceptable to NASCAR officials. Weight was not properly and fell out during the event. Imagine that. I'd hate for that to happen to me. As a result of this violation, crew chief Jonas Bell has been fined $10,000 and placed on NASCAR probation until December 31st. Go ahead, Stephen, with the Cup side.
Yeah, this weekend, Cup Series was again there at Pocono for the 41st annual Go Bowling 400. For all you Dale Earnhardt Jr. fans out there, yeah, he swept the weekend, 2 weekends there at Pocono this year. This is the first time that anybody has swept Pocono since 2006, in which Denny Hamlin did it. This is also Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s 2nd career season track sweep and the first time he did so was in 2002 at Talladega Super Speedway. Jeff Gordon had a couple of milestones this weekend. He led his 24,000th career lap in NASCAR Sprint Cup Series and his 1,000th at Pocono Raceway. Jeff Gordon did leave out there with the points lead this weekend also.
Yeah. And, you know, also, too, Stephen, while we're waiting on the price, I think it's Jeff Gordon and the 88 with Dylan Hart Jr. That's the way they're going now. You know, they're coming on late, you know, just like Smoke used to they're coming on late, too. I think it's going to be this is just my opinion. I think it's going to be neck and neck with 88 to 24.
Yeah, I mean, Dale Earnhardt Jr., he's definitely come on this year. He's a whole lot different than he has been in the past years. He was quoted this weekend stating that he's got a new life perspective now that he's been with his long-term girlfriend, and she's changed some things about the way that he's driving, things that he's doing in his life, and it looks like it's for the better. He's definitely going to be a strong contender coming there. He has the number one seed in the wild card standings when they get to the Sprint Cup chase in Chicago following the final event of 2014 at Richmond to get yourself locked in. So he's definitely on upward swing. This is his third win this year, so definitely he's got a lot of things going on that hopefully, you know, will change it for the better.
Yeah, I think he does too, Steve. I would definitely agree with all that. And just to throw something else out there, did you see where NASCAR sent out that press release about NASCAR selects IMG to become international broadcast agency partner? I think it's a 10-year partnership or something. You know, they want to take it overseas and other team markets and all that. But if you want to touch on that for a minute, Steven, you got the floor, bud.
Yeah, so IMG has been selected by NASCAR to kind of take over their media properties, television rights outside of North America, which are, you know, obviously big for them. They currently have, from what I had seen earlier, it's somewhere around between 190 and 200 countries throughout the world broadcast NASCAR either live or through tape delay, through one meeting or the other, through some of these. So that it's definitely huge, their international expansion that they've been working on for the last couple of years, not only bringing the series outside of the United States. So we've obviously bringing the trucks to Canada, bringing nationwide to Canada. We've run some stuff in Mexico City and things like that. And now, you know, with our Eurocar series that's sponsored by Whelen over there, which is similar to the NASCAR home tracks, Whelen Modifieds late models that are run throughout North America, you know, there's a big international push from NASCAR right now. And, you know, this will give them the opportunity to be in front of more people throughout the world and to be more inclined to know about stock car racing, not overseas. It's a lot of open wheel racing, Formula One, IndyCar, things of that nature. And, you know, this will definitely bring it out for the fans, being able to see a little bit different style of racing that they were not typically used to seeing.
Yes, I would definitely agree, Stephen. And at this time, Stephen, we've got my good friend Price Mason, PR at Talladega Super Speedway. Let's bring Price.
Let's get ready to rumble!
How's it going,
hey,
Tim?
Hey, Price, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. That was a fantastic introduction. That was nice.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And, Price, I want to introduce you to Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. I don't know if y'all have met, but I'll let Stephen ask you a couple of questions if that's okay with you, and then we can go on with what y'all got going on for this coming Geico 500 race weekend here at Talladega, and then we can give away the prize, if that's okay, Price.
Cool. Sounds good. Yeah.
Hey, Price, Steve Wilson with SpeedwayDigest.com. I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, doing really well.
Good. You know, Talladega being one of the biggest tracks out there on the circuit, you guys did something a little bit different there in the springtime where you brought some extra technology in so that the fans could see a little bit more about what was going on throughout the track during the race. Are you guys looking to expand that, and what is the next level for you guys to expand the fan experience out there, you know, being obviously such a big facility?
Stephen, I hate to ask you to repeat that, but price dropped. Here he comes, Suzanne. I'll go ahead and bring him back in. All right, Prince, we got you now, but I hate to ask Stephen to repeat that, but y'all go ahead.
Hey, Price, Steve Wills with SpeedwayDigest.com. Hey, so Talladega Super Speedway being the biggest track out there on the NASCAR circuit, you guys did a little bit different in the springtime where you brought some technology in to bring the fan experience closer to the fans so they could see what's going on throughout the track. Any plans to expand upon that coming into the fall, and what do you think that the next step is to bring that technology to the fans to bring it closer to the racing experience?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. What we were able to bring here in the spring, and then we'll continue that through the fall, was actually a big push for these new Sprint Vision screens. If you were out there at the track, you would have seen how they were almost four times as large as they had been in the past. And so what we're really trying to do is bring, you know, the whole feel that you would get from a NASCAR race sitting at home in your recliner, and you know, the great technology they have on screen. You know, we want to be able to provide all of that as well as the atmosphere of being at a race and at a Talladega race. So we kind of want to bridge that gap. So now that the technology is so great and you have, you know, all this these wonderful advances in the way that you watch the race from home, be it through, you know, the TV or the connection you have through your smartphone or all those things. We want to be able to have the technology there so that you can feel like you have the full immersion in what's going on, but at the same time you're there at a race sitting in your seat in our great seats that we have in our grandstands. So so that's really what we're trying to do. We'll continue that in the fall, where we'll have our big our bigger Sprint Vision screens, and there'll be more of those throughout the front stretch, so that you'll have great views, so you'll be able to see everything that's going on the track. Even when it goes over to the backstretch, you'll be able to see everything that's going on. But at the same time, you get to still have the feel of being at a race. And so that's what we always try to promote, is the fact coming out to a race at Talladega is like nothing else. But at the same time, you have the feel and you have the connections that you have by sitting there and being able to see these screens at pretty much any seat in the entire front stretch. So we'll have that here in the fall, and we'll go from there. There are some technological things that will continue through the next few years. But right now, yeah, we're just going to continue doing that from what we had in the spring.
And this fall, obviously, you guys, it's definitely a wild card race. Anytime that you come to Talladega, even without the chase for the Sprint Cup, and you guys, again, are a part of that this year, 10 races there to crown a champion for NASCAR. And this year, you know, with Talladega being one of the knockout races, what are you kind of hearing from your fans that, you know, you think that they would like to see when they come to the races out there? And do you feel that this has also helped you guys, knowing that fans will see such a wild card race with the knockout, you know, knocking people out of that championship run?
Yeah, I mean that actually, you know, that plays, the whole new chase format plays into all the tracks that get to have chase races, and yeah, the new format I think will create a whole lot more excitement for our fans, especially ours being the anchor event of the contender round, where there will be a reduction in drivers from the 12 down to the 8 following our race, and it'll just, you know, the whole year with the emphasis being on winning, it'll just extend. You know, even more so in the chase, so that you'll have drivers that you know, the 12 drivers that are still in the chase, if they come to Talladega without a win, you know, they're going to be doing everything they can to get up to the front and race hard all day long and try to you still got to race smart, you got to avoid the big one, but the excitement is going to be really more than it has been ever with this new format. Everyone's excited to see what will happen, and with Talladega being the wild card that it is, it's going to be throwing that in there with all these new elements that are there. It's going to be something like that you haven't ever seen before, especially for new NASCAR fans and old NASCAR fans. It's going to be something that in effect is a brand new thing and a brand new race and a brand new excitement.
All right, well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you coming on tonight to talk about your race that you got going on down there in the fall. I'm going to throw this over back to Tim.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Price, I got one little quick question, you know, just sort of throw it out there. I seen on y'all's Facebook page the two tickets for $88. Are y'all still doing that in the Lincoln Grandstands?
We are still doing that.
How long does that last?
Yeah, that's going on right now. You know, we actually introduced that just a little while ago, and then, you know, we're pushing it pretty hard since everybody's excited about Dale Jr.'s win at Pocono and the sweep, and we're just pushing that. It's just a great deal. You got two front stretch tickets for $88, and the chances for Dale Jr. to perform well at the Geico 500 are pretty good, because the last time he won was actually at Talladega was 10 years ago, and that same year he won the Daytona 500. So it's kind of a setup for this same exact year. And so, yeah, that ticket offer is going on now, and it's going on for a little bit longer. We'll just see how long it lasts while supplies last. So you kind of want to go ahead and jump on that deal because there isn't really a period that it runs through. It's just while those tickets are still available. So there's sort of an immediacy to go ahead and pick up that package, because it's been one of our most popular packages.
And you know, Stephen, where else can you? I mean, Stephen, Price, where else can you go and have a perfect seat right there? You know, for that is a great offer. I want to thank y'all for doing that for the sport. I mean, we all the NASCAR fans, I'm sure, really do appreciate it.
Yeah, we love being able to introduce that. I know we've done it in the past, and it's just, like I said, it's one of our most popular ones, just because, you know, Dale Jr. is a favorite for a lot of people, especially at Talladega, and those Lincoln Grandstand tickets are really good seats, and it's you save $32 on the package, so it's overall a great package for our fans and a great way to support Dale Jr. and you know, a lot of us look forward to seeing how well he performs during Talladega's races.
Oh yeah, I do too, and I'm pretty sure Suzanne does. She's a big 88 fan. But
yeah, he's got our biggest streak,
yeah.
You know.
Yes, sir. I totally agree. And you know, we agreed to give away a prize tonight. Would you like to
announce the
prize, or do you want me to announce?
Yeah, sure. Well, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. And let us know what are we giving away right now?
The Talladega Super Speedway autographed Ricky Carmichael hat, which is very rare, and we're going to add a bottle koozie that's got that black bottle koozie that you give me with the Talladega Super Speedway and a zipper on it. Yeah, we're going to give that out, and it's going to be trivia. So, and me and you talked about this the other night. Do you want me to read the question off, and we'll take?
Go ahead and read the question off. Yep.
Here it is. Talladega Super Speedway now covers approximately blank acres, including the track site, parking areas, campground, and infield. Okay, callers. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. And we have somebody right here from the 607 area code. We're going to bring him on. This is a... I think it's Todd Bigsby. Todd, do you have an answer for that question?
What's going on, Todd?
How you doing?
Hey, Todd.
I would have to say 150 acres.
That is incorrect, Todd. I'm sorry. A bit bigger than that.
Wow.
All right, we'll put him back in hold.
Todd.
Hold on. I knew this was going to be a good one. All right, we're going to bring this 734 air code. I think this is my good friend Brad Hodges. Let's bring Brad on. Brad, do you have the answer of the acreage Talladega Super Speedway covers? Can you
What's
hear
up, Brad?
Brad, what's can up? You hear me?
How you doing? Honestly, I'd say probably a good 2,600 acres.
You're getting warm there, Brad. That's close, but that's incorrect.
All right.
appreciate the call, Brad. Sorry.
All right, now we got a caller from 704 Air Code. Let's bring this in. Caller, you're in the pit stop. 704 Air Code, do you have the answer to the question of how many acres Talladega Super Speedway covers?
No, but I know it's a lot. This is Sam Bass calling in and looking forward to speaking to you guys.
How's it going, Sam?
I'm sorry. I had told Suzanne to let us do this, so she stepped. Anyway, while we got you, Sam, go ahead. Well, Price, would you like to stay on with Sam for a while?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. Sam, I want to introduce you to my good friend out of Virginia, Mr. Steve Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com.
Hey, Steve, how are you, sir?
Hey, Sam, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself tonight?
Doing great, man. Doing great. It's nice. Thanks for you guys having me on with you.
Sure thing. Great. I'm glad that you were able to come on the show with us tonight. My first question that I have for you is that you're from my state of Virginia. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about how you got into NASCAR, what inspired you to start drawing and creating some of these excellent pictures that you have out there, as well as you've done a lot of stuff for Charlotte Motor Speedway and Bristol and others out there?
Yeah, well, thanks. I mean, it's pretty simple. I went to my first race when I was about 7 years old. I went to a little bull ring in Virginia there called Southside Speedway, and Bobby Allison was visiting that night. He was racing in town at the Fairgrounds Raceway, running the Grand National Series at the time, and so my uncles took me to the racetrack, and I was absolutely blown away by the color and the speed and the excitement of racing, and I had always been interested in artwork even as a young kid, and so I went home that Friday night and started drawing race cars and race drivers, and 45 years later, I'm still doing the same thing.
Yeah, so you've seen a lot of changes in NASCAR over the years, and I've seen some of the beautiful trophies that you have created, as well as some of the other drawings and some of the other stuff that you've put out there for these NASCAR fans. Where do you draw your inspiration from for some of these tracks, especially let's take like the trophy that the guitar that you've done in the past. How do you draw some of those inspirations out there to create this artwork?
Well, second only to NASCAR is probably my love of music, and I'm a huge guitar buff. I played guitar since I was about 8 years old, and when I got the chance back in 1997 to start working with Gibson Guitars, which led to me working with Nashville Super Speedway in 2002 on their trophies, it was just, I was so excited about it because I just love guitars, and I love coming up with concepts to paint on the guitars, which is really fun. I mean, I'm a huge fan of this sport, and I love the fans and the drivers and the sponsors, everything about it, the various tracks I get to travel to. And I get inspired by just being a race fan, just watching the competition week in and week out, and I try to translate that into my artwork.
And my final question that I have for you tonight is that, you know, obviously in NASCAR, a lot of things have changed since you began, out there in your career. What do you feel is the one defining moment in your career that you think that you're most proud of?
Wow. that's a tough question. I've been so fortunate. There's been so many great things that have happened to me. But I would have to say I had the privilege of getting to meet Dale Earnhardt in 1984, Bobby Allison introduced me to him. Growing up, I was a huge Bobby Allison fan. And Dale, for some unknown reason, just gave me the chance to document literally his entire career. And that led to, you know, not only designing cars for Dale, for Richard Childress, but when Dale Jr. and the kids came along, I got to design, you know, their cars. So, I just had almost like a 20-year relationship with Dale Earnhardt that as far as my business went, really, really changed my life. I mean, because he was always doing something more spectacular week to week on the racetrack than the week before, and he gave me a chance to document it through my paintings and drawings and design several cars for him and everything else. So I would say, you know, my relationship and friendship with Dale Earnhardt was really one of the things I'm most proud of.
All right, Sam. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out to come on the radio show, and I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. I'm sure he's got a question or two for you. Appreciate it, and, you know, look forward to all the artwork and the trophies that you continue to put out for the NASCAR fans.
Well, thanks a lot. It's nice talking to you.
Hey, Sam, Tim Despain. I want to apologize for answering you like that. We had a little giveaway going on with Price Mason, PR at Talladega Super Speedway, and we still don't have the correct answer. We ain't got but a couple of callers. We got them on hold. But
I'm going to take a wild guess and say 1,500 acres. How close am I?
Price?
You're getting there. It's still not quite. We're a little bit more than that.
All right, well, it wasn't a bad guess anyway.
Not a bad guess at all.
But anyway, Sam, we've got Brandon McReynolds coming on later too. I want to thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule. But I want to hand you over to Price here for just a minute. If, you know, maybe Price might have a couple of questions. Price, you have any questions for Mr. Sam Bath?
Well, yeah, sure. I guess, you know, more. I loved hearing your story, and we've definitely seen a lot of your great work in the trophy side of things over at Talladega Super Speedway. And it was really cool hearing about you know, your start with guitars and everything. What was your inspiration for some of those trophies that you've done for Talladega Super Speedway? I know you've done some. There was one I remember seeing when I first started. It was a trophy of somebody of a driver holding another trophy. Where did that idea come from?
Yeah, well, Aaron's, your event sponsor in the springtime, they commissioned me a few years ago to come up with a unique trophy design and something that I could really make original for the various drivers that won the event. And so what I wanted to do was design a piece of sculpture had a place in the sculpture that I could create an original piece of artwork of the winning driver's car. And so so what I did was, I had the driver kind of holding the trophy above his head, and he was standing on more or less a reflecting pool that was in the shape of Talladega Super Speedway. And in that reflecting pool was an original watercolor drawing that I would do and painting. And then the idea was when the guy drove into Victory Lane, I would start a drawing of his car, a painting, and get it close enough during Victory Lane ceremonies that I could have my picture taken with the driver presenting him the piece of artwork. So I had about anywhere from 8 to 13 minutes to do this piece of artwork. But
wow.
It worked out great. I mean, it was pressure packed. I'll never forget my favorite race of the trophies was when David Ragan won the race, because I had started probably I don't know, 35 or 40 drawings and had them at different stages or whatever. But David had a brand new sponsor, and he also, I hadn't got a chance to begin the drawing of his car. So I literally, whenever he drove into Victory Lane, I mean, I had to start totally from scratch and just throw that thing out there. And I was relieved that I was able to get it done in time to get a picture with him. But he's a really good friend of mine, and it turned out really, really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. That's a pretty complex piece of artwork there. having the time there that you have to go ahead and finish the piece while the person's there in Victory Lane. That's pretty amazing that you're able to pull something like that off. And just the idea itself of having the driver actually represented in the trophy is actually pretty unique and a nice like piece of art that I'm sure that people getting to have the trophy afterwards are pretty impressed by.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. I was really thrilled when Aaron's gave me the opportunity to do that for Talladega. That is one of my favorite racetracks on the circuit. I mean, I've been going there since the late 70s and have really, earlier than that, about the early 70s, about 1973,
wow.
I think, was my first trip to Talladega. So it was a lot of fun.
That's you've been coming to a lot of them then. That's that's been a long time. Well, we really appreciate, you saying those things. Yeah, we feel like we get excited about the races too, even being on the staff. They're just exciting, action-packed races, and that's it's great to especially seeing someone like you who's still just a huge fan of the sport, and you've been been a part of it for that long. That's really cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. That was some good stories, Sam. Sam, you want to take one more hack at the question? See if you can get closer. Talladega Super Speedway now covers approximately blank acres, including the track site, parking areas, campgrounds, and infield. What do you say, Price?
All
give
right.
me one more whack at it.
Yeah, all right, go for it, Sam.
I'm going to bump it up. I'm not looking on Google or anything, I promise you. But I'm going to say 2,400 now.
Still not quite there, Sam. You're getting close.
Wow, that's
amazing,
man. That track, I thought I knew how big that track was, but I apparently have no clue. I will say this. The first time I ever drove into that track in the tunnel, I was absolutely amazed when I come out of that tunnel and looked at the banking of that racetrack. I mean, it's something that every fan should experience. I mean, that feeling, I mean, you were just overwhelmed by the size of that place. And it is just one of the coolest tracks on the circuit. I know the drivers, love it. They love it when they win there. They kind of are not real happy with it whenever they wreck there. But for sheer entertainment value, watching a race, there is nothing like it. Talladega just ranks among my favorite tracks on the circuit for sure.
Yeah, you're right, Sam. It's a totally brand new thing to actually be there in front of those banks. You can tell. I'm sure everyone knows it's the biggest, but when you go and actually stand in front of those four-story banks, it's a whole other experience, and it blows your mind that a car can actually drive up that. It's basically like driving up a wall.
Yeah, it sure is. You keep feeling like when you're going through the turn, when you take a pace car laps and everything, which I've had a shot to do with Grant and all the people, various staff members down there. It's just amazing. You just know full well that you're going to get up in the turn, you're going to roll over and come down to the bottom of the bank. But it is just an amazing thing. You guys should really be proud of that track and the work you do down there.
Well, thank you, Sam. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and I'm just enjoying sitting back listening to the story, Sam. But, again, I want to thank you very much for what you've done for the sport, what you're still doing for the sport. And I've been watching some of your some of your sales that you got going on. We've got Brandon McReynolds waiting here. We got a few minutes, Sam. If you want to talk a little bit about what you got going on for some of your sales drawings and stuff like that, you got the floor, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it very much. I've got if people will visit sambass.com, they can check out some of my latest work that I've been doing this year. One of the things we have on there currently today, in honor of Dale Jr.'s big win at Pocono, the sweep, we've got the Daytona 500 commemorative painting I did for him earlier, about a couple months ago. I finished that, and I'm going to give him the original of that particular painting as soon as I can get him to slow down long enough to give it to him. But we've got that on sale. That's normally $150 limited edition print, and today we have it on sale for $88. But we've got they'll go to my website. We've got several different new pieces of artwork that I've done on there. I've got a Jimmy Johnson 6-time championship painting I'm real proud of. I've got a design poster I did for the Exalta car, which Jeff drove into Victory Lane at the Brickyard a couple weeks ago, and I got to give him my latest guitar I've designed, which was pretty cool. And then we've got a real popular piece that has been amazing this year, the Austin Dillon piece that I did for Remembering the Three, that shows Austin's pole-winning car at Daytona up against the Daytona wall. And if you look into the word Daytona, you see the black car of Dale Earnhardt's 1998 Daytona 500 winner reflecting in the Daytona wording on the wall. And that's been a real popular piece this year too. So people, it doesn't cost you anything just to go to the website and just look around. But we appreciate people visiting us there. And, of course, they're always welcome at the Sam Bass Gallery across the street from Charlotte Motor Speedway if you're in town. So be sure to stop by.
Thank you very much. You've done great, and I would love to have you back on later, too. If that's okay, maybe we can work on another date to get you back on when we're not so jam-packed, if that's okay with you.
That sounds great, man. And Brandon, I apologize for making you wait, man. I know race drivers don't like to wait for anything. So Brandon is quite a race driver. I've had the good fortune of working with his dad for a long, long time, and I'm really, really proud of you, Brandon, the success and everything that you've had, and I hope you keep it up. So thanks for having me on the show, guys. I really appreciate it.
And thanks again, Sam. Now, would you like to speak to Brandon for just a second, Sam?
Well, sure, but I want him to have an adequate time to do his interview. But sure, I'll say hi to him.
Okay,
Let's get ready to rumble!
There you go, Brandon. How you doing tonight, my friend?
Doing good. How about you guys?
Good, good. We started off trying to give away a hat, and the phone lines have blown up. Sam Bass is on. Price Mason PR from Talladega Super Speedways agreed to stay on for a while. My good friend Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. But, Brandon, if you got a second, Mr. Sam Bass wanted to speak to you.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Brandon, I've known your dad for a long time, man, and I've watched you grow up and race over here at the Speedway with the Legends cars and the Bandoleros and all that stuff like that. And it's amazing to watch you grow and mature as a race driver, and I just wanted to tell you, man, I'm really proud of you, and I wish you a lot of continued success. I know you sure are making your dad proud, and all the McReynolds fans out there. So just keep it up. I just wanted to tell you that.
Yes, sir. No, I was listening to your interview, and it's been a while since I've seen you. I'll have to make a trip over there by the Speedway and come check everything out, and it'll be pretty cool. Hopefully, continue a career here at it, and hopefully you'll be painting some cool stuff of us in Victory Lane one day soon. So
Well, I don't doubt that for a minute, man. I really don't. So you take good care of yourself, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks for letting me talk to Brandon, guys, and y'all have a good evening.
All right, Sam. We'll see you later, man. Good to talk to you.
Take care, bud.
Okay, caller Sam Bass dropped. Okay. Brandon, sorry about that. The phone lines have blowed up. We've got Price Mason, Public Relations, Talladega Super Speedway. We've been trying to give away a hat. Brandon, I'll ask you the trivia question, and we'll see what Price says. Talladega Super Speedway now covers approximately blank acres, including the track site, parking areas, campgrounds, and infield. What's your answer, Brandon?
Oh, man. I might be way off.
2,400 acres was our last guess.
I'd say probably 300 acres.
No, not
Price.
Quite. You got to multiply that by by quite a bit. But it,
okay.
Yeah, that was
Brandon,
that might have been a bad guess, but no, I just... I've seen the infield, and that's really about it, but I know y'all got quite a bit of land down there, so.
Yeah, that's about the size of the infield. Our infield's about 212 acres, so you're getting close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
And, Brandon, if we can, I know you're on a limited time schedule, just like me and your dad talked yesterday, but we're trying to give away this Talladega Super Speedway hat that's autographed by Ricky Carmichael. So, if you can, I'm going to let you and you and Price stay here, and I'm going to bring a caller from the 910 error code. He claims he knows what it is. So let's see. All right, caller from the 910 error code. How many acres does Talladega Super Speedway cover as far as the track, campgrounds, et cetera, and everything else?
3,000 acres.
That is correct.
Price!
Oh, wow. Congratulations. You've won a hat.
Thank you.
Where's my butt? I can't find my button. Okay. Caller from the 910, we're going to put you back in the screening room with my wife, Suzanne, and she'll get some more information on it, and we will ship this out to you as soon as possible. You won the hat and a Talladega Super Speedway bottle koozie.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Price, we finally got it giveaway. Okay.
Well, good.
Brandon. Yeah. How's it going, my friend?
It's going pretty good. I'm a little under the weather, so you might have to bear with me with my voice. But no, everything's been good. It's been a good year. You know, I've been running for Bill McAnally out of the West Coast with our 16 NAFA Toyota and running the K&N West schedule and just been chipping away at it. You know, we haven't broken into victory lane yet, but. Feel like we are in a position now to where we have the right people and the resources in place to really take advantage of that and try to make a strong run at the championship. We're third in points right now, but everything's been going pretty good. We raced out in Seattle here in about, I think, a week and a half, and so just been back home and enjoying the beautiful state of North Carolina, and that's really about it.
That sounds good, Brandon. And Price, I know you have a limited schedule, too. Would you like to ask Brandon anything, or do you need to go? It's up to you, bud.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess I know, Brandon, you won the ARCA race at Talladega recently. I mean, was that a big important thing for you? I mean, what were your thoughts during that?
No, it was huge. You know, I was really fortunate to go down there with Turner Motorsports and race with them guys and just winning, you know, at my dad's home state where all his fans and his family grew up and Alabama, the state of Alabama is really near and dear to my heart. My fiance actually went to school down there, so there's a lot of ties in there. You know, I'm not from Alabama, but in some kind of weird way, I kind of feel like I am. And you go to Victory Lane down there at the biggest and the baddest, you know, racetrack there is basically in the world. I mean, that's really neat, and to do it down there with the good people of Alabama is really cool, and to see all the fans really support that win and And it was huge. It was the biggest win of my career thus far, and I guarantee it'll continue to rank up there no matter what happens in the future. And it was really neat to see not only my own reaction for winning that race, but my dad's and what that meant to him. It was pretty cool.
That's really cool. Yeah, I'm sure that was. I remember there being there in the media center when you and your dad came in, and yeah, I'm sure that was a really really special moment for you guys, and that's just a really cool memory to have, and I congratulate you on that.
No, I really appreciate it. That was neat. We need to get back to Victory Lane, but definitely I think about that a lot of times, and especially when things are going bad or even going good. You know, I'm always remembering that day, because we didn't start off that good in the race. We were a little tight, and my guys got good track position, and I think about it probably every other day. You know, it's just a really cool moment that I think that feeling will never go away for sure. So
that's really cool.
Okay, yeah, that is, Brandon, and I was actually out there, but I wasn't in the media center like Price was in. But Price, is there anything you want to throw out about race weekend, Geico 500, before you have to go? You got the floor, bud.
I just want to, like you said, you know, we still got the Dale Jr. package going on right now, so I encourage, you know, any fans out there looking to secure some good seats at a really good price, and we've got a lot to offer coming up it's going to be October 17th through the 19th. We'll have the Geico 500 Sprint Cup race and the Fred's 250 powered by Coca-Cola. Camping World Truck Series race, and we'll have a lot of cool things for fans going on. We'll have bring back our big one of the Boulevard Friday night parade, as well as our Saturday night infield concert, and I'm sure we'll be announcing the artists for that pretty soon. So a lot of good stuff for the fans, a lot of good deals going on, and it's being that anchor event and the contender round for the new Sprint Cup format. I'm sure it's going to be a really exciting weekend. So we hope everybody can come out. And I appreciate you letting me on tonight, Tim.
Yes, sir. You're very welcome, Price. And you know myself and Suzanne will be there. And thanks again for all the support that y'all have given us, Talladega Super Speedway, Grant, Russell, and all that. Thanks again, Price. And I'll be in touch, bud.
Cool. No problem. Thanks for having me on. See you, Tim. See you, Brandon.
See you, bud.
All right, man.
Bye.
All right, Brandon. Sorry about all that. We sort of got backed up. Brandon, I want to introduce you to my good friend Stephen Wilson out of Martinville, Virginia. Stephen, you've got Brandon McReynolds in the pit stop.
Hey, Brandon. It's Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. First question I have for you is that you're running the K&N West Series this year with Bill McAnally Racing. They've been pretty instrumental over the years with a lot of development drivers. What do you feel is the biggest piece of advice that your dad, being obviously a championship or a Daytona 500 championship-winning crew chief, has given you throughout your career to make sure that you're excelling and you're learning what you need to learn to progress onto the next series and move throughout your career?
No, that's a good question. I think the biggest thing is no matter what situation you're in, he really stays on me pretty good about trying to make the most of your opportunities, whether it's a good opportunity or whether it's a good opportunity that's not what you thought it was, or you know, you just, at the end of the day, no matter what you're doing in life, you got to put all you got into it if you really want it. And that's something he hammers on me till this day, and feel like I do a good job at it most days. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm human, and it's easy to get frustrated, and it's easy to start wondering you know, where to find that success. You know, this year we've run top five about, I think, all but three races, which is really good. But at the end of the day, I mean, Bill McAnally and Napa and Toyota and myself and all of our guys, we expect to win races. So I think that's one of the biggest things he's taught me this year is don't get down on yourself, but you got to do a good job day in and day out of getting the most out of whatever you have right in front of you. So I think that'd probably be the biggest thing he's helped me out with.
And we've had a lot of up-and-coming drivers, young drivers come on the show talking about what they've done throughout their career and some of their struggles. Even as far as even Justin Allison talking, you know, about how it's hard for him as to get sponsorship. One of the biggest questions I think a lot of people ask is, you know, you obviously having the McReynolds name, how much do you feel that helps or hurts you throughout your career in NASCAR?
Well, I think, you know, from a standpoint of sponsorship and things like that and maybe more the corporate world and people that are dealing with, you know, the money figures every single day that you really need to be on your side and to help you out or, you know, I think it helps. I think there's definitely a selling point for guys like myself and Justin that have a dad and some heritage in racing. You know, one of the things that really hurts, whether it's Texaco or any of the brands that my dad's been involved with, I'm sure Justin runs into a lot of the same problems, is a lot of those marketing guys aren't at those companies no more, so there's really no tie-in. And a lot of these new CEOs or CMOs, they don't, some people just don't see the value in NASCAR, but luckily, you know, one of the ways that it helps is when you find a company like NAPA that's willing to put their name behind you, and obviously they've had a lot of success with Chase, and they believe in kind of that racing heritage and putting their name behind us young kids. That definitely helps. On the other side of it, you know, one of the places it kind of hurts is, you know, there's been plenty of times I've talked to different owners or different people that they'll sometimes kind of come up to you and approach you, talk to you about coming and driving their race cars, and then the next minute they're talking about a money, you know, a dollar amount. And, you know, my dad, he's been really successful in the sport, and you know, I'm sure he's made a really good living, but at the same time, he's never stuck that silver spoon out there for me. I've had to earn everything I've gotten, and at the end of the day, he told me when I was racing for him, even on the late models, that you know, at the end of the day, if there's not money there or sponsorship there, then we're not going to go racing. So he's not going to pull out of his pocket to go do it, and I don't blame him. So, it's good to have a dad that understands the sport and where the sport's going as a business and as a sport. But at the same time, there's definitely some hurdles you got to get over as far as people just assuming that there's money there just because your dad's won a bunch of races or, you know, lives in a nice house or whatever. But at the end of the day, he's worked hard for those things, and I got to do the same thing. So.
And my last question for you is that in the K&N series, you know, there is from time to time where you'll get some Cup drivers or Nationwide or even Camp World Truck Series drivers that will come into the series. How much do you feel that that's helping you prepare on the weekends, that you have some of those guys that are in the upper levels that you can work with, maybe throw a couple ideas out and maybe work with them throughout the weekend and see what they're doing? Does that change the way that you race with them, or do you feel that helps you progress throughout the series?
Well, I mean, you know, some of the guys that have helped me is, you know, I talked to Kevin Harvick and worked for Jeff Burton for a number of years, and leaning on those guys really helps. But, you know, it's the biggest thing is you got to race people the way they race you, and at the end of the day, you all weigh the same while you're out there sitting in a race car, and you got to get all you can get, and you got to do a good job for your team and your sponsors. And, you know, I think it is good when you can race against guys at upper level, and I enjoy that. It kind of helps you judge kind of where you're at as a driver and some of the moves that you make, and they'll be the first to tell you if you messed up, which is good. But I think it's great. You know, there's a lot of talk right now about should Cup drivers be able to run Nationwide races and truck races, and I think it's good. That's how Kyle Busch Motorsports keeps its doors open. You know, Kyle's able to go in there and leverage his name and keep sponsors happy and give really good drivers like Daryl and Eric a chance, and I like it. I mean, it definitely I think will pay off in the long run.
Hey, Brandon, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Good luck with the K&N West Series. I know that you're out there battling for that championship, and you've got a couple races left to go. Hopefully you'll be in victory lane before the end of the year.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Okay, Brandon, this is Tim. Hey, Brandon, Tim. And, you know, I want to talk about your dad. I mean, you know, people talk about, you know, the silver spoon and all that, but I'm going to tell you, you have got one great dad, Mr. Larry Mack. Every time he sees myself and Suzanne here at the David Allison Walk of Fame, he takes time to come up and talk to us, and he has really helped us get contacts, too. But, yes, you have got one great dad, Brandon.
Yeah, no, he's helped me out a lot, and it's been really good, you know, learning from him, and whether, you know, things are going good or things are going bad, he's always right there giving his input, and a lot of times, you know, he even if I don't think it right at the right moment, you know, he ends up being right about kind of whatever he's talking about, and been really good to me, and you know, talking about the Walk of Fame, it was really neat, you know, getting to run the ARCA race a couple of years ago and actually had that on the hood as our sponsor down there. I think I was making my second ARCA start, but it was really neat working with you guys, and really means a lot to have anything with Davey Allison on it, being that, you know, he's my godfather, and know his son Robbie really well, and just really cool to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we've had your dad on the show I know we've had him once, might have had him twice, but last time he came on, I made the mistake of saying War Eagle, and he said, Tim, you know I just called. So he was fixing to hang up on me, so I said Roll Tide.
Yeah, yeah, that's one of the only issues that I have in the state of Alabama is that Auburn's down that way. But you know what, it's all good. I'm sure they're going to play some good football this year, and I'm sure the Iron Bowl will be pretty cool to watch too, so.
Oh, yeah, Brandon, you know, you've been around it, too. You cannot predict that. You cannot predict that football game, you know, just like last year. But I don't want to get in football. Brandon, I want to thank you very much. I want to give you the floor to talk about sponsorship, whatever you got going, and are you going to race the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series this October in Talladega, and do you have anything planned for next year as far as maybe moving up, or everything still rolling stone where you're at right now?
No, there's that's good questions. You know, there's a lot of things in the works right now. My dad's partnered up with a guy, Matt Loney, out of Atlanta, Georgia, and they're working on a lot of things. So if anyone's interested in sponsorship or looking into what we got going on, we're trying to get things rolling and taking steps in the right direction. And, you know, y'all can go to LarryMcReynoldsRacing.com and check that out and see what we got going on. But other than that, I mean, I really do owe a lot of my thanks to Bill McAnally and Toyota and Napa, because if it wasn't for those three groups and Mike Curb Records, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing this year. I'd probably be sitting on the couch or working on a late model or something like that. And you know, so that whole entire group, especially Bill McAnally, has really helped me revitalize my career and keep me in the seat and keep me fresh. Focused on going out there, kind of win some races the rest of the year, and hopefully at the end of the day the right partners and sponsorships will be there for next year to continue, you know, doing what we love to do.
Yeah, that sounds great, Brandon. And again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. Tell your dad thanks for getting us where we get you on the show, and good luck, bud. Thanks for everything you do for the sport. Thanks for everything he does for the sport, and we'll get you back on as soon as we can. I'd love to have you back again, if that's okay, Brandon.
Yes, sir, absolutely. If I make it down there to Talladega, I'll come hang out with y'all, and definitely look forward to getting back down there soon. Always enjoy coming down there and hanging out with all y'all, and really looking forward to getting back racing down there hopefully soon. So.
Nice, 10-4. Sounds good. Just shoot me a text. Myself and Suzanne will be in the media center. Just shoot us a text. Shoot me a text. We'll find you, bud. We'll hang out.
All right, yes, sir. Thank you. Y'all have a good night.
Yes, sir. You too, Brandon. Take care, bud.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Brandon McReynolds, driver in the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series and K&M Pro Series. All right, Stephen, we've got Tina Stull. We've got her guest. We've sort of went over her time. So at this time, Stephen, I guess me and you will step aside, and we'll bring Tina Stull on, and we'll let her bring her guest on, if that's okay with you.
Sure thing. I'll step back and listen in.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Miss NHRA Tina Stull. Sorry about that. Everything has went over and over and over.
No, that is totally fine. I was listening to it. I was interested. I would have probably kept listening, didn't even realize what time it was. But, yeah, I'm going to have Clay Milliken. He's going to call in about 7:30. I told him to call in. If he calls in a bit early, that'd be great, too. I'm not sure exactly when that's going to happen. But it's been a crazy week for me.
I know it.
Yep.
To let you know, Clay's in the hole button right now.
Oh well, then heck, let's get him on. He's the interesting one.
I'm okay.
Not sure if everybody knows who. Go ahead.
I'm gonna bring Clay on, and I'm gonna go take a pit stop while y'all talking. I'll be right back.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Well, I just want to let y'all know that we had Clay Milliken. He's a top fuel driver. We were talking a little bit about this on Twitter, how many times he's the IHRA grand champion. I guessed a billion. I think I might be a little off on that number. But I appreciate, Clay, I appreciate you calling in. And glad to have you.
Oh, no problem.
So you finally made it home. If everybody's not aware, he just finished what they call the Western Swing, which is a punishing, grueling 3 weeks on the road, going from starting in Denver, then Sonoma, then Seattle. And everybody is now running for the home barn to get ready for, I guess, Brainerd, and then, of course, the huge one, Indy. So tell us, how you're doing and what you learned out of the Western Swing.
I learned that it accumulates a lot of frequent flyer miles going back and forth, that's for sure. that Western Swing is something else. It is definitely, as you say, a grueling stretch of races. It's a lot of travel for the race teams, and then it's just a lot of racing. But the thing is, we really just got off of seven races in 8 weeks before that, and I love it though. The more opportunity I get to put my helmet on and mash the gas on that old Parts Plus Top Fuel car, it's a lot of fun. And for me, it's just been a lot of traveling, but man, I just love driving. Driving race cars is, what I love to do, and there's really, not much of a break. The guys are, on the road from Seattle now, heading towards, Brainerd as we speak. I mean, they'll get the rigs there, and it's really nonstop. I mean, even though it's a weekend off for the race team, myself, I'm doing the IHRA television show, so I'll hop on a plane tomorrow heading for Martin, Michigan, to US 131 for the IHRA race there. I won't be driving there, but I'll be doing their television show, so a lot of travel.
That actually is one of my favorite tracks. I actually, last time I raced there, which is a couple of years ago, did rather well. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but man, for being a fairly small track, They had that together. It was a smooth race, a good race. IHRA really has a way of making the drivers really feel welcome there, and it really makes it worthwhile driving as far as we have to go. Me coming from San Antonio, that is quite a haul, but when you get to a track and you can enjoy your time there, it makes the whole adventure worth it. I can definitely understand what you're saying about, being on the road and how hard it is. A lot of people don't realize when you do something like the Western Swing and you're based off of, the Eastern United States, that's a long haul. You ain't going home unless you're flying back and forth. You're not getting to see home for a while.
That's a fact. I mean, the crew guys, they're really the ones that take a beating on that deal.
Mm-hmm.
The drivers, most of us fly home, fly in Wednesday night or Thursdays, and then, fly back home Monday. I got home last night about, 6:30 in the afternoon, and, it'll give you a pretty good, beating all that travel. It's really crazy.
You had some crazy things happen on these last races, and I hadn't, I'd seen it on, of course, ESPN, but just as a, what was kind of the craziest thing that happened to you in these last couple of races that, you know, I know what I'm thinking of, so I'll see if it's the same thing you are.
Oh, without a doubt, you know, Friday night at Sonoma, you know, getting ready to make the home run swing at low ET, you know, the nighttime qualifying deal, and do my burnout and start backing up, and actually broke an A-arm, you know, so the whole front wheel on the right side literally just laid right over, you know, and it's like, well, this run is not going to happen, but it's kind of just a weird, weird deal. You know, I went ahead and backed the car up, even though I had a broken wheel, and, you know, it was just crazy. I've broke A-arms before, but the majority of the time that's always been, you know, after you do a wheel stand, a big wheelie, whatever you want to call it, and when the car comes down, you know, it'll bend the A-arm, but this time, I mean, we broke an A-arm, and, you know, we're just very fortunate that it broke when it did. You know, it's much better to break it when you stop at the end of the burnout than going 320 mile an hour down the racetrack, that's for sure.
This is very true. It's got to kind of like, I mean, that's got to shake you up, because it just, like you said, it just doesn't happen kind of unprovoked usually. And, you know, quirkier things have happened. It's usually like the 20-cent part that costs you a $100,000 run. And we've all seen that, everything. I remember one time when Cruz went down and, you know, hit the gas and didn't go anywhere. Turned out the little thing that held the throttle cable to the pedal had broke, you know.
Yep.
So, when he,
yep.
You know, so it's, a, you know, fluke. But now, as a driver, how do you not just let that get in your head? I mean, luckily you didn't have to turn around and do a pass right then, but from a driver's standpoint, you know, we have, I think in some ways drag racing is a little different in that you have too much time to think between stuff. But
I think you're
how
right,
does something
you
like
know,
that do you? Yeah.
You know, it's probably about, you know, the amount of runs I've made over the years. I mean, I've been racing Top Fuel since 1998 and doing it full-time since 2000. So, you know, it was just one of those things. You know, I was more concerned with the car than like the mental side of it, that something was going to happen on the next run. You know, I mean, it's weird. And it could just be that I've had so much tire shake over that amount of time that I don't think exactly right anymore. That could be part of it, too.
Well, I tell you, you are definitely the most positive driver I've ever met. And, you know, I've known you pretty well, followed you really closely the last couple of years. And, you know, you'd think, okay, during this, if you know someone well enough, you'll see him have a bad day. And I've seen you go through some bad days racing, yet you always manage to look at the shiny side of the quarter. And I think that's pretty amazing, because I know you know, just as a driver, totally different scale and stuff, is I get knocked off my, you know, my happy little spot occasionally, and yet I've seen you have the ability to kind of, like, stay firm, and I really mean that in the most genuine sense, and it's not putting on a front, because to keep going with the clear mental, you know, nothing seems to rattle you.
You know, I'm definitely a positive person, and, you know, the glass is half full. And I know, you know, for all of my being, that I am so fortunate to get to do what I do to make a living, that, you know what, a bad day is, you know, if I get beat first round, or if you, you know, don't qualify, any of those kind of things, I still vividly remember sitting in the grandstands for many, many years just thinking, wow, how I would love to do that. And I guess I've just never forgot that. I know how fortunate I am to get to do what I do. And, you know, it's an awesome, awesome job. And, you know, it's a really cool thing to hit the gas on a 10,000 horsepower car in front of, you know, 50,000 people. And
yeah,
win or lose is still awesome, you know. So
I
just... You know, I don't get out of the car and mad and kicking, and I'm still happy to get to do what I do.
That's a very good way to keep your mentality in this business, because, you know, none of it's like I used to say when I do stuff with the military, you know, as much as I love what I do, I'm not changing the world, you know, and it's such a privilege. We're entertainment. You know, we just happen to have a little, you know, risk of death in there, but we're entertainment, and just the privilege that people want to come watch what we do. And I think, talk about that. It's like, we actually get to do it. You actually get to go down the track, and you have so many people that are willing to pay money to come watch you do something that I know you love. That is a huge privilege. And I think a lot of times it's when you get in deep and you know, you got pressure and all that, if you don't keep that mindset of, you know, just that simple fact of how, you know, how grateful you are to do what you do, you can lose sight of that and begin to see the pressure. Because I've seen sub drivers look like they, you know, they were doing, you know, brain surgery and somebody could die and at any moment, and it takes all the fun out of it for them. And I think it takes it out for the, you know, the fans and so forth. And I know your fans love you. This is, if you're listening, you don't understand. Clay has, his fans are loyal and they love him. I swear, it's like you probably got it the best, almost like the NASCAR drivers, in that they really truly feel like you're a friend, and they're rooting for you huge time.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, you were just saying, you know, what you do, and I know you do a lot of work with the military, and it's awesome, you know. And you said it's not changing the world, but you know, the thing is, if you can just change one somebody's day, that's a pretty good day. You know, if you can make somebody smile, make them, you know, think about something other than whatever problems they have at the moment, and if you can bring a smile to somebody's face, you have changed their world a little bit, you know. And that's, you know, I don't try to do nothing special, you know, with fans. I just try to make sure that they're doing just like me, and that's having a good time, you know. So,
yeah. Well, you know, and
that's what it's all about.
And I certainly didn't mean to dismiss that, but you're right. Changing one person's life is just as important as you know, on you know, I was thinking more as far as the military is out there fighting for our right to breathe at this point. But, you know, you definitely, there's a huge impact. But, well, the other thing is, I mean, being in the positive mood you're in, tell me about this IHRA thing. I've seen a little bit of it in the news and a little bit of it. Kind of give us kind of an overview of what you're going to be doing with the IHRA and what that whole project entails.
Well, you know, it's going to be a pretty neat deal. There's, you know, the great people at IHRA, Jason Rittenberry, you know, he kind of oversees everything, and Scott Gardner's the president of the IHRA, and Jason, you know, called me and asked me, you know, would I like to be involved with the television show, and I'm, you know, certainly, you know, I've got a lot of history with the IHRA, and I'm very proud of everything I've done there. And when I got that opportunity, you know, I'm like, absolutely, I want to be a part of it. I mean, of course, I can't go to all the races, you know, because of my racing on the NHRA side of things. And he said, well, the person that they hired to, you know, produce the television show was somebody I was familiar with, and it's a guy named Ray Eddings. Ray, you know, if it's race people listening to this show right now, most likely they've watched Pastime, and you know, maybe they've seen the show that I did, Drag Race High and Burnout, which was on MTV2. You know, I did a couple of shows with Ray over the years, and so I've got the opportunity to go do this, and it's a lot of fun. You know, I've been to several of the races, and they've had good crowds, and you know, they've kind of been filming. It'll be a different feel. This, I'm not going to give away the whole show, but this show's not going to be a typical drag race show like what we're used to seeing, where, you know, you see the cars line up and go down the racetrack and you have a winner and a loser. Well, we're going to have all that, but you're going to find out a lot more about the racers. You're going to find out, you know, what they do in the pits. What do they do when they're home? You know, what all goes into what racers do? And this show's going to have a different feel to it than a standard drag race show. And, you know, and it will show 10 consecutive weeks. It'll come on the same time every night, you know, that is scheduled to be on, and you won't have to hunt for it. So, I mean, it's going to have a whole different feel, and it'll start showing in the fourth quarter of the year, and I'm pretty excited about it. You know, the things I'm doing with it, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'll be at the races and maybe, you know, talking to some legendary people of the sport, and mm-hmm. a lot of times you may just hear me, and we've got a good co-host, a lady named Carissa Beal is part of the show, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, the IHRA's got a really good thing going. They brought their back racing full time, you know, all out this year. It's really cool. They've got the funny cars and the nitro fuel altered, which are just a handful to watch, and nitro Harleys, and they've got jet car racing. I mean, it's fun. I really enjoy going to the events, and you know, we were just talking about Martin, Michigan. What a beautiful racetrack that is. I've won that race several times, you know, back in my IHRA days. I love racing there, and certainly looking forward to going there this weekend. It's going to be a blast, that's for sure.
Well, back to your old stomping grounds. Well, that sounds neat. I've done a little bit of talking on this show, just trying to get people to kind of understand that, God, drag racing is so much more than, you know, 10 seconds on the track or whatever. I mean, how much goes into it and how much, you know, in a lot of ways it's very similar to motorsports in general. It's just such a condensed time. And there's, you know, I know there's not a lot of error in other motorsports, but there's no room for error with drag racing. You know, in the blink of an eye that you can make a mistake, you've lost the race. And
absolutely.
Just trying to get people to understand, and just how difficult it is, you know, what you do, you know, travel, you know, across the country, and you go there, and you go down the track for, what, 40 seconds total? I mean, really, actually,
yeah.
If you add it up, less than 20 in qualifying, and you may have to turn around and drive home without even getting to compete. If you do get to compete, that's another 5 seconds on the track, and you still may go home. So just how it can't help but be a really intense sport, just because so much rests on just such a small increment of time. And, man, just the amount of learning that it takes to get to that point. How long, just as a question, how long did you race before you felt like you knew what you were doing?
In a top fuel car, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I was actually winning races before I really was probably, you know, had enough laps to really kind of know what was going on. The experience of a top fuel car, you know, people ask me, what's that feel like? What's it like? I've never found anything that's close to it, and I have been fortunate enough to have done some really cool things in my life. I've jumped out of airplane. I've jumped off the stratosphere in Las Vegas. I've rode with the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds. I've got to do a lot of cool things, but I've never found anything that quite is even close to what a top fuel car does. And so it takes a lot of runs in a top fuel car before you're really, you know, driving the car. Because no matter what's going on, it's still faster than you've ever been. The car can be on fire. It can have, you know, the motor exploding, but it's still accelerating faster than anything you've ever felt in your entire life. So it takes a lot of runs before you're not
kind
just
of over before you even know what happened.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, how a person even gets an opportunity to try it out kind of per se is just, you know, I mean, that's got to be hard. How many people do you think actually just get their first shot at driving top fuel, take one pass and go, nope, not for me? I mean, because it's like, and I don't mean that in a bad sense. It's not about cowardice or whatever, but just like, how would you know if you liked it until you tried it? And once you try it, if you don't like it, there's not a whole lot of reason to continue doing it, because you've got to love it to do it well.
Oh, yeah, it'll definitely scare the pants off of you. You know, there ain't no two ways about it. I'm not going to call names, but I do know a few people that, one in particular that actually was that owned a car, nothing to do with none of my teams over the years, but this owner felt like, well, his driver's not doing a good job, and so he decided he was going to do it himself, and he did a burnout and stepped on the gas, and his driver continued driving. You know, I mean, it's, you know, you can watch it and watch it and watch it and really know what's going on watching the cars. You know, after you've watched these things forever, you do know what's going on, but there's nothing that replaces that acceleration and the power that you're in control of with your right foot, you know. So it's
it makes sense. I mean, you know, some people don't like, you know, spinning or roller coasters. They don't like the sensation of going up and down or what, but you don't know until you try it. but at least it's a smart man who says, no, I didn't like that.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, one attempt, he was done, you know, and
yeah.
he even to this day is still out there with a driver in his car, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like I can do that, you know, and the same
yeah.
thing with NASCAR. You watch the NASCAR guys and you think, ah, I can do that. Not everybody can, you know.
Now, have you ever driven a NASCAR?
I haven't. I've certainly got some buddies that do it, and I've never raced any kind of, you know, roundy-round race. I've actually made some laps in a dirt car. Steve
mm-hmm.
Tucker, the vice president of Parks Plus, owns a really nice street stock car, and I made some laps in it, and I think I would like to do it. And of course,
yeah.
you know, Parks Plus is like, nope, out there by yourself's one thing, but put you out there with another 20 or 30 people, that's not happening, you know. But
you already picked your, which makes sense. I've just always been baffled at the idea, you know, that being used to a race that lasts, you know, under 10 seconds or, you know, 45 seconds from start to finish or whatever you want to say, what it would actually be like to go out and race for, like, more than a minute. I mean, it's just kind of like, one, where do they keep the adrenaline going? You know, because I come back after a pass, and I'm exhausted. It usually takes me about 20 minutes for my brain to, like, calm down enough to form sentences that make, you know, I'm high as a kite when I get back. And that's probably what I love. But, you know, just the thought of, like, racing for 10, 20, you know, an hour at a time seems a little mind-boggling to me, but...
it is. It's amazing. You know, it really, really is. I've spent a lot of time over the years at motocross races because my youngest son, you know, is a professional motocrosser, and they race for, you know, 20 minutes plus two laps. You know, he's out
mm-hmm.
there forever. And, of course, he's in, you know, super-duper shape. You know, that's all that kid does is exercise and train, and it's amazing, you know. And I don't know how they do it. You know, I really don't. I mean, I know, you know, what we do, we have to maintain focus for so long, but it's still a short amount of time compared to, you know, the NASCAR guys or anybody that races a longer race. But it is crazy. You know, you get you certainly, you know, have an adrenaline rush that is unbelievable. You know, it's
yeah.
crazy how much you get built up there. But, you know, that's something that I always try to do, you know. A lot of people see me when I get out of the car and I'm talking 90 to nothing, and that's that adrenaline, you know, coming out. But, you know, me and you kind of had these conversations. You know, you try not to, like, get too worked up before you, you know, stage the car, but you're certainly excited, and I love it. Like I said, there's just nothing like, you know, when you put that helmet on and the
yeah.
car starts up, you know, it's incredible.
It definitely is something special in it. It's, you know, like I said, there's no comparison, but because this is all I know, that's, you know, that's it. You don't know it until you try it. But when I started this, it was overwhelming because it was so intense. Then they bumped me up, you know, I almost went about 194 as fast as I've gone. When I did that, that was like a whole new level, you know, and then it took me a while to get acclimated to that. But just that, that is an intensity, and it's an, you know, I mean, you're probably the only other job that would probably be suited to you would be astronaut, you know, strap a really big rocket on you and send you up. Maybe that might be comparable on the scale of, oh my, but quite intense. Now, to the kind of negative side, but that's what everybody expects, is how about, what would you say about, like, the first wreck? I mean, I've heard it be said that, you know, half the guys that wreck will probably never drive again just because, you know, you have that mentality that it's not going to be me. I know that when I go racing, I it doesn't even occur to me that I could crash because I never have. And no use thinking about it if, you know, I mean, you can't worry about something you can't control. But, what you know, once it does happen, you have to make a decision at that point that's no longer blind about whether to get back in the car.
Right,
and
what
do you think drivers go through that, or what was your experience with that?
You know, I've had a couple, and, you know, certainly had one highlight reel thing. You know, if you put my name in on YouTube, it's the first thing that pops up. You know, I blew a dragster over, you know, backwards, basically did a wheelie until the car come all the way over backwards. And, you know, it's funny, you know, a couple things I've had happen, you know, I keep my eyes open. I figure if you're taking this ride, you might as well see it, you know. I don't know. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, you certainly don't think about it, but when you have things happen, you know, last year I had a tire explode going over 320 miles an hour, and I don't know. You know, it's weird. I keep saying I don't know, but I just take it for what's coming. You know, you don't think about it. You just react to it, and, you know, the cars are
But obviously
are
it hasn't even occurred to you that, like, maybe this isn't something I want to do anymore.
Oh, not in the not in the least. You know, not in the least. I mean, people, you know, a lot of people, they don't even want to talk about their wrecks or whatever.
Right.
We've got videos that play in our hospitality area at the races, and then it shows, you know, my blowover crash.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I mean, let's just
You know, I look at it as a badge of honor. If you made it through,
you might as well show it off, you know.
You might as well. I mean, you did something very few people. Yeah, man, very few people can say they ever drove top fuel. Even fewer can say they've had a blowover, you know. So
it's that.
But I really think that's part of the whole thing of the mentality of – just those that excel as drivers. Well, and you look and you go, those who excel as drivers and those who excel as crew. There are people who do both and do both really well. There are guys that, you know, I no more could see Austin Coyle in a car driving than I could see John Force only turning wrenches. You know, of course that day may come, but, you know, there are definitely people who just thrive on being the crew. And doing the crew part, you know, and there are those of us that you know, I do the mechanicking because it's the only way I get to be the driver.
I mean, I'm kind of the, you know, I am definitely a driver. I can take a top fuel car that's in pieces and put it together, but I do not have, you know, the smarts to tune one of these things. You know, it takes really smart people to tune one of these cars. And, you know, the drivers get all the, you know, all the glory and the TV cameras and all that, but we're nothing, you know, without that crew. And, you know, racing Super Comp, I did everything, you know, just like you do. I cleaned the trailer, I loaded the car, I put the transmission in, I kept the converters changed, I did all that. I can do all those things. A top fuel car is so complicated now that I don't have that ability, and I don't even attempt to try to learn it, you know.
Well, you know, the thing is that each one of those people are, I always say they're like brain surgeons, or if there's a surgeon that's, you know, more difficult than brain surgeon, that's what they would be. You know, the clutch guy, that, you know, each part of that car has somebody who specializes it, lives, breathes, and thinks that. And, you know, trying to be, you know, there's no good. If my dad would say, you don't have to be the best at everything. You just have to hire the best.
Yeah,
you
he's
surround
right.
Yourself, you know, you get yourself the best guys out there for your crew. Why, you know, why would you even try to compete with somebody who this is what they do and this is all they do? You know, I was thinking of something, and I guess my train derailed on me. Oh,
well,
I was going to say that you're right. The driver gets all the credit, but he also gets all the blame. But what most people don't realize is that if your crew hasn't handed you a winning car, a driver can't, you know, they can overcome some things, but they can't make a losing car win. And the same thing is a bad driver can take a winning car, and if the driving's not there, they can't take a winning car and make it win. I mean, it's really a 50-50 thing, but the driver does get the credit, and he also gets the blame.
Yeah. Well, when I first started this, my crew chief, you know, we were all brand new at it, and that's what he, you know, he told them. He said, you know, he pointed at me and said, you know, he's going to get all the glory, but let's look at it this way. No fame, no blame.
Yeah. This is true.
And that's true, you know, but talking about the crew guys and that sort of thing, it takes each and every one of them doing everything exactly right, because no matter what the clutch guy does, he can be dead on perfect. But if the guy putting on the right cylinder head doesn't adjust the valves correctly, well, the motor's not going to run correctly, and then that in turn affects how the clutch works, which in turn affects your ET slip. You know,
yep.
So it takes every one of them doing the exact right thing all the time. I mean, it is certainly, you know, a total team effort. Any one guy slips up, it's not going to work.
And I would imagine that trust level. I mean, seriously, the guy who plugs in the battery can be the one that screws it up. you know, you can. It's almost as if anybody can screw up a good run.
Without
thought. I mean, and yet, you know, you have to go into it with that confidence. And I think we saw a couple incidents in these past couple races, not with your team, but with teams where, you know, the stupidest little thing is what bit them in the butt. And it cost them, luckily, I think the ones I'm thinking of were both qualifying passes. But, man, I've gotten up there, and we'd been, you know, working on the car for the 2 hours between our qualifying passes, get up there, and the battery's dead.
it takes everything.
Yeah, it really does. Well, now next on your is going to be Brainerd, and then Indy. Now, is Brainerd kind of has a bad reputation of being a wild, kind of a wild race, and then Indy.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
I've been banned from the zoo. Even my own crew members would say, Tina, it's no place for you. You can't go. You're a girl. So I've only heard rumors and rumors of rumors. But, I would imagine that's kind of a fun race for you and for your sponsor.
It is. It's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, the zoo, for the people that don't know, what Brainerd is known for, what that race is known for, is the camping area. They have a huge group of people, and I mean huge, thousands. They go for basically the whole week, and they camp right outside the racetrack, and it's been known as the zoo, and they have some of the coolest contraptions you've ever seen. You might see a picnic table being driven around. You know, they build, I guess they use golf carts, and they'll drive around on picnic tables, or it might be a porta potty. I mean, you never know what you're going to see, and they are there to have fun, and they love the races, and I really enjoy the race. I mean, last year I qualified number one there, went all the way to the final round. I got beat by Spencer Massey in the final in a really close race, and we actually had a off-road race where I drove a Polaris Razor, a side-by-side as they're called.
Uh-huh.
I raced my son, and I raced a couple other people, and in the final, I raced Ron Capps in these Polaris Razors out in the zoo. They built a motocross track out there, and that was a lot of fun. And I beat Ron Capps, so that made it more fun.
There you go. So you got a little victory.
Yeah, I gave him a little bang, and, you know, eight wheels are better than four, as they say, and I kind of stole it from him, but, you know, I do like the race, I really do, and it is a party atmosphere, you know. And
yeah.
I don't want to say the zoo's got a horrible reputation. I think in the past it certainly has gotten out of control, but I think, you know, over the last few years they've kind of calmed it down a bit, but it is a party atmosphere. I'm not a partier, but it is wild out there.
I've heard of a few racers getting hurt at that race, and it had nothing to do with the side-by-side racing.
That's true.
It's definitely all in good fun.
It is.
You know, and then it kind of offsets the seriousness of Indy, which is
the marathon. You know, the U.S. Nationals is a marathon. I mean, you park your rigs on, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, you make one qualifying run on Friday, two qualifying runs on Saturday, two qualifying runs on Sunday, and you race on Monday, you know, if you qualify.
Done my schedule. I'm in it. So I'll see you there. But we leave. Topeka race is the weekend before, so we'll be parked at Indy on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
we'll go there,
you won't
we'll
race
there
until the following Monday.
Yeah, we'll go back and we'll get there up there by probably, you know, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and we'll sit there a couple days before we park. They'll park us probably Tuesday. But and that's when everybody kind of finalizes typically most of their sponsorship deals, and a lot of it's definitely one of the longer races of the year.
Oh, it is. It's a marathon. But, I mean, it's the U.S. Nationals. You know, it's our Daytona 500, the Super Bowl, and, you know, everybody says if it's only one race you're ever going to win, you want it to be that one, you know. So it's something that everybody puts a lot of, you know, a lot of emphasis on. There's a test session a week ahead of time. The Parts Plus team is actually, we're going to do the World Series of Drag Racing, which is at the racetrack in Cordova, Illinois, the weekend before. So that's kind of our testing. and we're actually, you know, our car is getting front halved by Brad Hadman the week right immediately after the Brainerd race. We're getting the chassis is getting front halved, so they'll cut the front of the car off and we'll get all fresh tubing. I mean, you know, you pull out all the big guns for Indy. That's all there is to it. You know, you swing for the fence pretty much every lap and hope that it holds on.
Yeah, I can imagine. My mouth just went dry and I started heart palpitations. Just talking about Indy, that's definitely the biggie. Well, you know, we'll definitely – I appreciate you taking the time to come on. I'm not sure if Tim or anybody had any questions. They're probably listening in, so if they did, that now would be the time to ask them. But we, we're going to definitely be looking forward to the IHRA stuff. I'll keep, you know, in contact with you on that and make sure that everybody knows when that show's ready to hit the air. And, man, is there anything that you have on your schedule or that, you know, I mean, your main sponsor this year is Parts Plus, and did you have anybody else you need to do a shout-out for or anything that you should keep an eye out for?
You know me. I can always do that. You know,
there you go.
I certainly, you know, I've been with Parts Plus for many, many years and look forward to being with them for, you know, many more years. And this year, you know, I teamed up with Dexter Tuttle, and we have another major sponsor on the car called Liquid MPG. And, you know, it's a fuel additive, and that is just a growing company for Dexter. And, you know, we're proud to be part of that too. And, you know, I'll just tell you, you know, it's been a crazy up and down year for our team, but I'm really proud of everything they've done. You know, they are a hard working bunch of guys, and you know, the number one question I get all the time is, you know, when are you going to win an NHRA race? You know, I won so many IHRA races. Certainly not a question that I can answer. You know, when it happens, it happens. And truth be told, if it doesn't happen, you know, I'm going to keep swinging at it, and when the time's right, it will happen. But
yeah,
I tell you, I love drag racing.
I tell you, there's no shortage of talent. I would definitely, and I've said this before, so I'm not just kissing up to you. I can prove it. But you are definitely one of the most experienced, qualified drivers out there. And it has, you know, it's just going to be a matter of when your equipment can keep up with you. Because, you know, these teams are coming in with huge checkbooks. And it's just really hard to compete with that. And I've thought you have done, you know, incredible with, you know, having, you know, I mean, they've been awesome sponsors. But, you know, when you don't have, you know, Ford Motor, you know, these huge bucks, it's really hard, even just being a one-car team. But, you know, as far as guys who are just, you know, your time is it's just a matter of when, not if. And that's my personal opinion. You know, because I can see it happening. Drag racing, man, you can be the best out there, and one little fluky thing comes and it pulls the rug out from under you. And sometimes you just need to get your luck all in the same day just to make it happen. But you know, I'm looking forward to seeing you in the winner's circle, and you know, I got my bets down on you because you know, it's, like I said, it's just a matter of time. But, you know, I'm glad Liquid MPG, I used that on my last trip, and, you know, damn it, the stuff doesn't work.
It does. You know, it's amazing. I use it, and I'm sitting in my truck right now as we speak, and, you know, I use it all the time, and
yeah,
there's a ton of fleets out there that use it, and hopefully everybody will give it a try.
For me, as a sportsman racer, the most expensive part of racing now, once you already have everything in place, is getting there. And I know that, like, just by extending gas mileage, you know, that can make or break the cost of a race for me. So, you know, tell your sponsors, you know, hey, I'm out here, but I'm good with the stuff, and I'm glad that they make it, and I'll continue using it. Appreciate your time. We'll go ahead and I'll cut you loose, but I sure hope you can come back on, you know, one of these upcoming shows. I know you're going to be pretty busy these next couple weeks. I know I'm not going to breathe much between now and after Indy. But I appreciate you taking the time and coming on and talking with us.
Anytime, Tina. You know that. And obviously everybody can catch up with me at claymilliken.com. But more importantly, you can catch me at Clay Milliken on Twitter. I love Twitter, and Tina, me and you have a blast on there, and people ought to join us on there, and we have a lot of fun.
Definitely, and I will tell you, Clay follows back. That's, you know, and he does interact, so it's not like you're going to have, you know, Susie down back in the, you know, the office typing his stuff out. That's him. When you see his tweets, that's him talking. So definitely you can follow me at TinaStoleRacing.com, Clay at Clay Milliken, and we will we'll be out in Twitter history. So
absolutely. Thank you, Tina, so much for having me on.
And Tina, this is Tim. I want to thank you too. And Clay, thank you very much for coming on the show. We appreciate it, everything that you do. And I will back Tina on that. Clay Milliken will follow. All you got to do is follow. Thanks, bud. I want to thank you very much, Clay.
Thank you guys for having me on, and I'll be back on whenever y'all want me.
Okay.
Thank y'all. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Thanks. All right. Bye. Tina, you done great again.
Well, I tell you, it's this last week I've been at the track two times fixing stuff on my car, and I was trying to think of what to do, and I thought, I got to call Clay. He's such a good guy, and he's had quite some adventure these last couple of races. I figured he'd have something interesting to, you know, chime in on, and I was kind of, I learned a lot there, so I'm glad he could make it.
Yes, ma'am, me too. And when I see him on TV, you know, he's sort of like the, you know, we got a few minutes left here. Tina, I want to play a song before we go off. But, yeah, he's sort of like the class now. He's always happy, always funny,
yeah.
And he's a great guy.
Definitely a positive guy to be around. I've seen, you know, I've been at a couple of races where, I mean, things weren't going, you know, and there'd be a million good reasons to say, oh, poo, or this isn't fair, or whatever. And he just has always kept his chin up. And literally, I think it's that gratitude factor. You know, he talked about it, just being grateful for the opportunity. And, you know, it really rings true with him. And for as hard as it is to even get to race, you know, right now it's like if you look at the new Top Fuel runners, they're all a friend of somebody or a, you know, somebody's kid or whatever. Those opportunities are so few and far between. And to really have to fight to get in there and to get that opportunity and to make it happen. And, you know, and yet he's, you know, he's had some difficult stuff, and yet he just continues to just go forward and not let that stuff get him down. And that's a large part of why his fans love him. Is, you know, it's, if he loses a round, you go see him in the pits, man, he's just as happy to, you know, take a picture and talk with you as if he had just won.
Yes, ma'am, I would totally agree. And Tina, I want to play a song here that's, you know, probably going to take up the rest of the time, but I want to thank you again very much for being a part of the Pit Stop with Timmy Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. You're doing great, but, I want to play this song here, Tina, and we're gonna end it after this. Thank you very much.
Okay,
sweetie.
Well, I'll go ahead and say goodbye and sign off, but I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, ma'am. 10-4.
Okay.
We'll talk to you, sweetie.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
2, 3.